We're going to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 today. And how many know we're in an election season? And if you are not registered to vote, we have some forms in the back. Please, as a believer, take your responsibilities seriously, not just to pray, but to get involved. And so your prayers work, but how many know your vote works too? And so we have applications back there. If you have not registered to vote, we encourage you to do so. And we do have some pamphlets back there, kind of defining what each candidate believes. So it's back there on the welcome table. So please feel free to pick one of those up here this morning. Today we're going to be talking about prayer requests. And so a lot of what was spoken today, worship, what the kids have spoken today, has to do with asking for prayer. And if you've grown up in a church environment like this, you know that prayer requests and praying for one another is no big thing. But I wasn't raised in the Assemblies of God. I wasn't raised in Pentecost. We came through charismatic, and we were raised in a denominational church. They didn't take time to pray for people. They didn't ask people for prayer requests. And so it's a big change for some of those individuals that are now coming into our church. How many know that we seem a little weird? That when we pray, everybody prays. That kind of freaks some people out. When they come in and it's not just the person speaking, praying, but people all around them are praying. And it's kind of an eerie kind of a feeling. It's kind of scary, actually. And so if you're used to it, praise God. But one of the things we do sometimes is that we hold back a lot of times. How many of the Bible says we have not because we ask not? And sometimes we need to realize that we need the body of Christ. And we need the prayers of the body of Christ. And for some of you come in every week with some issues going on in your life. We ask for prayer requests. We ask for us that have the privilege of praying with you. And you don't. And you walk out maybe the same way that you came in. So we're encouraging you to be involved in our prayer services. How many know prayer is important? How many know that one of the things, one of our goals as we move forward is to kind of infuse prayer more into our services than what we're experiencing now? And I believe that we need to begin with prayer. I believe we need to pray during the service, and we need to end in prayer. Yes? Amen. Prayer is a way of life. So we need each other. And so we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians here, chapter 3. The truth is, today we need each other, and what we find out is that life has a way of messing up our theology. Just when you think you have everything figured out, guess what? Life throws something at you that you weren't prepared for. And folks, we need to come to that place here today that prayer is necessary in our everyday life because we don't know what the next day, what the next hour will bring our way. So God answers prayers in two ways. He delivers us from our circumstances, and he delivers us in our circumstances. And we all like the first one better. We always like to be delivered from the circumstances in which we find ourselves. We like that miraculous, that supernatural. We like that thing that when we pray, how many have ever prayed and just like that, it just seems like the answer just came. But there are other times we have to work through it. We have to live through it. And we've got to operate in the area of faith, trusting that God is going to do and be faithful to his word. So Paul is closing up his second letter to the Thessalonians, and he is encouraging them to pray. In fact, what he's doing is he's saying, I want you guys to pray for me. So what does Paul mean by that? What's he saying here? Paul's saying that when we come to prayer, we need to pray with a specific end in mind. Some of us pray generalities. Some of us just pray, God bless mom, dad, brother, sister, and spot, right? Sometimes we were raised that way, praying that way, and we even into our adulthood and even growing up in our maturity with Christ, we kind of have that same mentality of just speaking and praying in generalities instead of being specific, having a specific thing in mind. How many know when we pray, we need to be praying specifically so that when it is answered, how many know we need to know it's answered? Right? So we need to pray with a specific end in mind. And secondly, we need to pray for God's divine presence. And as we read this scripture today, this will all fall into place for us here this morning. So we're only going to read five verses here. In each verse, we're going to read separately, and we're going to kind of do a little bit of commentary on it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, Paul writes, which means he's ending his letter. It's the conclusion to his letter. He says, finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored wherever, and that's important, wherever it goes, just as when it came to you. So Paul is writing from the Corinth. He is writing to the Thessalonian church, and he is facing opposition. If you've read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, it's a messy church. The gifts are in operation in the church, but there's a lot of mess going on in the church. And Paul's saying you're carnal, but yet you're walking in the Spirit. And so that shouldn't be. And so he's going through things, and he's writing to the Thessalonian church. They're going through things. They're facing opposition. And so Paul is writing to them, and he's not praying a self-serving prayer here. He's not praying for his comfort. He's not praying for his personal needs. He's not even praying that God will change his location. How many know that sometimes when we face situations, man, we just like to move away? Amen. And Paul's saying, I'm not ready to leave Corinth, but I do need you to pray for me. So Paul's first request was that there would be no hindrance to the spreading of the gospel. And so that's one of the prayers that we should be praying, is that we should be praying that whatever we do as a church, we should be praying for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said it needs to spread rapidly. In the King James, it says, have a free course. Means it's running, it's moving, it's going with no boundaries and no obstacles. How many are praying that the preaching of our word, the testimonies that we're sharing with other people, are not facing any obstacles? He said, I want the word of God, I want the gospel to be honored wherever it goes. We live in a nation today that has turned its back on the scripture. We have a country today that does not even want to hear the word of God. As we defend our faith, as we share scripture with people, they don't want to hear what the word of God has to say. But we know that this word of God is what? A sword? In the Old Testament it says, my word is like a hammer, right? It is powerful, the scripture tells us. But the truth is, are we honoring God's word even in the church? Today, the Church of Jesus Christ, or at least in name, there is very much disrespect for the Word of God. In many churches, the Word of God is being ignored. The Word of God is being compromised. How many know that? People have turned their back on what the Word of God says. They're wanting their ears to, what? Be scratched. Because the Bible says what? They have itching ears, and they want to hear only what they want to hear. So we look at this story, we see that the Thessalonians responded positively to the word of God. And Paul honors them, and he recognizes that. He encourages them to continue in that. So as we read here today, we read here that we need to be praying, what? That the message will spread rapidly and be honored. And church, even as God's people, we need to honor his word. We can say we honor his word, but are you reading his word? Are you walking on his word? Are you standing in the word? That's how we honor the word. It's not going in one ear and out the other. It's not sitting on our shelf or on our phone somewhere. But it's something that we're honoring because it's important to our life. Second verse. We read the second prayer request. He goes on and says, I want you to pray for us, but I want you to pray that we will be rescued from wicked and evil people, for not everyone is a believer. Karl Marx, he wrote this. He said, religion is the sigh of the oppressed creature, the heart of the heartless world, and the soul of soulless conditions. And we could read that and kind of think, well, that's pretty good. But then he says, it is the opium of the people. And so as we read that, If you don't know what he's getting at, we can kind of misinterpret what he's saying. But what he's really saying is this. He's saying, religion is a human invention. We're waiting for the PowerPoint to come on track. Religion is a human invention that serves as a tool for social control, keeping the oppressed classes placated and preventing them from rebelling against the exploitative circumstances. Folks, that's not what religion's all about. That's not what following Jesus Christ is about. And if that is true, what is the threat in Christianity if what he is saying is true? If Christianity is a sedative, if it is an enslavement to the people, then why is Paul saying, I want you to protect me? I want you to pray that God will protect me. Because we know that the word of God is what? Powerful. We know that the enemy knows that the word of God changes people. And so Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, it is the same with my word. God says, I send it out. And it what? Always produces fruit. It always produces fruit. Whenever you hear the word of God, it is producing something. It will accomplish all I want it to do. And it will prosper everywhere I send it. That's powerful. Knowing that when we speak the word of God, it is producing fruit. It is producing something. God is using it. Even though the people we may be speaking to are defiant, they don't seem like they're receiving it, they're rejecting it. Guess what? God's saying, it's taken root. It will prosper. It is doing the work that I have sent it out to do. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word is what? Alive and it's powerful. It is powerful. Proverbs 18:21 says, our words, the tongue, can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. So what are we talking? We talk in the word of God. And if we talk the word of God, we walk the word of God, guess what? It is going to produce life. Are you here? It's going to produce life. So wicked and evil people oppose the gospel. How many know they shoot the wit, the messenger? You've often heard, or maybe you even quoted, don't shoot me, I'm just the messenger, right? How many know the devil is after the messenger? He is after the messenger because Romans 10 says, how can they hear without a preacher? Someone sharing the word of God. The devil uses people. He uses wicked and evil people. Paul is saying here today, this is my prayer request for you here today. Pray that we are protected. It's not about self-preservation. How many know that if you preach the gospel, people are not going to like it? Some will not. Some will accept, some will not. It's about continually getting the message out. That's what our prayer request number one is. Get the word out. Secondly, we are to pray that we never know where the opposition will rise, so we need to pray for what? Protection, right? Prayer is necessary, folks. This is Paul writing down his prayer request. Almost 2,000 years later, we are reading about Paul's prayer request. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. How many know that God is trustworthy? Can I repeat that? How many know that God is trustworthy? And that's, therein lies the temptation, because it is the scheme of the enemy to challenge your trust in Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve had a trust problem in the garden. How many know that? The enemy came. What did he do? He twisted the words of God. He said, is God really say that? Does God really mean that? You see, it's a scheme. God is trustworthy. And if he can get us to question God's love and faithfulness, that is his objective. That when circumstances come in your life, what's the first thing that comes out of our mouths? Why me? Why is this happening? as if it shouldn't happen to us. We had in our Tuesday night service, and we had it at our ministerial meeting, some good preaching. And the lesson that we heard here last week was he began by saying that sometimes things come into our life and we get angry at God. And he was sharing an example about his daughter being ill and she wasn't being healed. And he was having it out with God. And God told him, "Do you forgive me?" You may say, what's God have to forgive him for? Because sometimes we blame God for some of the things that are happening in our life. And they become a stronghold in our life. So the devil, what's he do? He uses those things. He turns them around. We need to deal with it, church. Is there a barrier between you and God? Is there something in your life that has happened that has just kind of put something between you and God? Is there a wall there? And if there is, you need to forgive. Because how many know that God has our best interest at heart? And how many know God sees the big picture? We see the small window. But God sees the big picture of what he is trying to produce and do through our lives. If you don't get anything out of this sermon today, is God has your back. God has your back. We read in this scripture that he will strengthen you. He will keep you, support you, confirm, make you stable, firm. He will set you fast. He also said he will guard you. He will keep, protect, preserve. As I said, the evil one instigates evil people to come against believers. Just like we work for God, people work for the enemy. Persecution comes. Comes for all different kind of reasons. Maybe your race, maybe your sex, maybe something, whatever. But persecution comes as a consequence of preaching the gospel. Where there are individuals preaching the gospel, there will be some kind of tribulation or persecution that comes your way. Not everyone's going to be receptive. Not everybody's going to be nice. Some people are going to be downright against you. Verse 4. And we are confident in the Lord that you are dealing and will continue to do the things we command you. Paul was instructing the Thessalonians to live according to his words. How many know there was no Bible? Right? I don't think Paul, when he wrote these letters, was thinking, well, one day this is going to be scripture. This is going to be in the Bible. He had no idea. So Paul instructed them to live according to his words, his teachings that he was sharing with them. And throughout Paul's writings, he uses military terminology. A lot of times when we're reading it, we don't know that that's what he's doing, but he does it. In a civilized world, there are rules of engagement. How many know that? If you read the Old Testament, there were seasons when nation went against nation. In the spring, there was a season when the kings went to war, the Bible says. So there was this time of war where we faced one another, crossed from one another. How many remember the story of Goliath and David? The army is on one side. The Israelites were on the other side. So that was civilized war. But how many know, and today we don't live in civilized war. The devil takes no captives. He plays dirty. So there are no such rules for us today. So we need to be prepared. And as a soldier of Jesus Christ, we need to be in shape. Look around you. You see a lot of people in shape? Right? Some of you look pretty good. Some of us aren't so pretty. We need to be in shape. The truth is, we're not just in a battle, we are in a war. And I've been just watching the Lord of the Rings, that series. And you sit there and you're watching these battle scenes of how they're fighting all day long, these battles. The truth is, how many of us could even last 5 minutes? Could you imagine how heavy those shields were? How heavy those swords were? The armor? I'll tell you what, I don't even think I'd last 5 minutes. I'd be on the side, okay, guys, hold on. I'll be sucking air. As believers, we need to be in shape, folks, because it's not just one battle. It is a war that we are in. We need to stay alert. The Bible says that the enemy is like a what? Roaring lion, or a prowling lion. In 1 Peter chapter 5, 8. We need to refrain from becoming entangled in the world, Paul wrote to Timothy, so that we can obey our captain, our leader. And we need to hone our skills. Paul wrote 2 Timothy 2:15, proclaiming correctly the word of God. How many know we need to proclaim correctly the word of God? How many know there's a lot of false teachers out there teaching a lot of wrong stuff? We need to hone our skills. When I took my oldest daughter for her driver's test, we had practice and practice and practice. And we did road tests, we did parallel parking. The girl could parallel park. I mean, if we didn't accomplish anything, the girl could at least parallel park. And so when we went there, she got in the car, and the instructor was talking to her through the window and says, I want you to turn on the high beams. And she's like, huh? I want you to turn on the hazard lights. Huh? We spent so much time doing the driver part that she didn't know the fundamentals of how to even get in the car and turn the high beams on or turn the hazard lights on. I don't know who was more embarrassed, her or me. I just walked away. I was like, oh. The lady was nice enough and say, let's pretend you didn't even show up. So as believers, we need to have the fundamentals down. We need to be ready. Trials and tribulations are coming. We need to be pre-prepared, if there is such a thing, right? We need to be pre-prepared. We need to have the fundamentals down that when something does happen, guess what? We are ready. The last verse says, may the Lord lead your hearts into full understanding and expression of the love of God and the patient endurance that comes from Christ. There is a deeper understanding that we need to have of God that helps us prevail in two areas. Number one, understanding the full expression of God's love and patient endurance. And so when we look at these things, this is what the devil does to us. This is how he tempts us. This is how he tricks us. We are not to be deceived, the Bible says, because we are not ignorant of his devices, of his schemes, of the way he does things. So don't confuse a seemingly lack of God's care when life's problems come your way. Isn't that what we do? When things come our way, what do? We question God's love for us. If God loves me, why do I have to go through this? Why am I going through this? Why did this happen to happen to me? The one promise we don't claim that Jesus said was it in this life you will have what? Trials and tribulations. We don't claim that one much. We don't. But that was a promise. That was a statement of truth. That as we are walking in this world, we will have problems. But he continues on and says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Meaning that we can overcome through him. So don't be deceived that When things come in your life and you're just floored by it, it's part of life. Life happens, and we need to be prepared for it. He said, God is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. So let me just go for where we started. God answers prayers in two ways. He delivers us from our circumstances, and he delivers us in our circumstances. As I said, I like the first one better. But the truth is, most of our prayers will be answered in the second one. That he will deliver us in our circumstance. He will be with us in our circumstance. We pray with a specific end in mind. As we prayed for our young people, we had a specific prayer in mind. Yes? We prayed specific. In every area of our life, whatever we're facing, we need to pray specifically. Paul is asking you, this is what I'm going through, and this is what I want you to target. Not that I'm happy, not that I'm comfortable, not that I have this or that. He said, I want the gospel to go forward. And I want protection. So we need to pray with a specific end in mind, and we need to pray for God's divine presence. How many know you need God in the midst of your circumstances? I think sometimes even in the midst of our circumstances, we pray more, but we still keep God at arm's distance. I think a lot of times we even strong arm God when it comes to his promises. God, you said, you promised. This is what your word says. But folks, he wants you. Not just your words, he wants you. He wants your heart. He wants to be present in that circumstance. Not blackmailed. He wants you to be with him through that situation. We do face a real enemy. We need to be strong. We need his protection. He's got our back. Do you understand that? He's got our back. So if you would. We're going to close in prayer. We didn't pray earlier. But it comes down to this. We need to ask. And if we're going through things and we're not seeing answers, if we're not being able to push through, that's where the body of Christ comes in. That's where we need to pray for one another. We need to humble ourselves. Sometimes we're a little bit prideful, I think, when it comes to prayer. Oh, I can do it on my own. I'm praying already. But the Bible says when we gather together and we pray on one specific thing that we're specifically praying for, God said, I'll do it. I'll do it. Maybe you're here today and you're going through some things. I apologize for not having a prayer time last week. Afterwards, we found out so many people were facing so many different things. I think we had more prayer after we did during the service. But if you're here today and you need a touch, maybe in your body, maybe there's a circumstance that is kind of going on and on and on and it's not changing, let us agree with you today. Not just agree with you here, but when we go home, we'll continue to pray. The answer will come. If you're here today and you just need a touch today, you need a miracle, you need God's intervention, I want you to just stand where you're at here this morning. Paul was bold enough to say, hey, I have a prayer request. Tara was one of them. I felt bad after the service. Anybody else here this morning? Amen. Move to those people here this morning. And we want you to ask them what they need prayer for here this morning. We can't pray for people if we don't know the specifics, right? Father, we come and we read these words of Paul, and they are incredible, Lord. That we have a God that's for us, not against us. And we're praying today that the gospel of truth, the gospel of healing, the gospel of provision, the gospel of meeting every need according to your riches will go forth here today, Father. We honor your word by standing on your word, by standing on your promises. Because, Lord, you stand behind your promises. We don't have you to force you to do anything, Lord. It's already done. It's already provided. It's already promised. And so today, Father, we're here claiming what we need here today. You are faithful, the scripture said. He will strengthen us. He will guard us against the attacks of the enemy, Lord. I pray today, Father, for just your word to go forth, Lord. For your word to accomplish what it was sent out to do. We pray that it will prosper in the lives of these people here today. We believe your word. We stand upon your word. We pray your word. And we know that it is Jesus Christ who stands behind his word. That his promises are yes and amen in him today. He said in John that ask in my name and I will do anything for you. You said in 1 John, if we ask anything according to your will, you said you would do it. Hallelujah. Lord, we stand upon your word this morning. We stand upon your faithfulness. Lord, we want your presence. Not just your promises. We want your presence. And may these individuals just feel the Father's love today. May they feel the Father wrapping their arms around them and their circumstance. That in their heart, Lord, there is an assurance, there is a confirmation by the Holy Spirit that in Christ it is done, it is finished. And we just give you that praise, we give you that glory today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, we speak life today, we speak healing today, we speak provision today, we speak Jesus over these circumstances today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Encourage those who prayed with individuals. Continue to pray for them throughout the week. You know, sometimes we pray for people and we don't even ask if God answered it. My mom does that all the time. We'll ask her to pray for something, maybe you, some individuals in her church. And she'll say, well, what about that person? She does a follow-up. How many know we need to follow up? Because the Bible says to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And so we want to. We want to see what God is doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we are so grateful for the service today, for the worship, for our young people, Lord. We're so grateful, Lord, that your word continually confirms in our heart your care for us, your love for us. Lord, let's not take it for granted that we're in a Pentecostal church, that we believe in prayer, that we believe in praying for one another. Many don't have that experience. Even as believers in Christ, they don't even experience that. But Father, help us not to become weary in well-doing. Help us to keep at it. Help us to keep praying. And as we settle into our fellowship time, I pray even now that you will bless the food that we're about to eat, that you will bless that fellowship time together. And we're asking in Jesus' name, amen.